This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects all of us in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. But first... Hi, this is Lou Covey, and you're back at Crucial Tech, and we've got something that I've been chasing down for a while. I've been noticing that there are companies, when you go to their website, you see this banner across the bottom. Now, until recently, that banner has given you an opportunity to go in and say, okay, these are the cookies that I will allow you to set as I peruse your website. And one of those cookies that you can say yes or no, thanks to the GDPR, is no, you can't collect cookies to sell to other people or to use for marketing issues. And when I've gone to these websites, that's generally what I do, is I click that off because I don't want them tracking me, but I don't mind them, you know, using the information to improve their websites and that sort of thing. But recently, I've been noticing that companies, especially in the US, have changed that little banner to say essentially, okay, we're going to be setting cookies, and if you don't like it, then get off the site. And that's essentially what they're saying. It's the only choice they give you. And I've talked to people at the Irish Commission, which monitors this for the European Union. And they said, yeah, that kind of violates the GDPR. So it's not a problem for American companies if they don't plan to do any business whatsoever in Europe. But if they do, it may cause them some problems. And I'm not sure if it violates the spirit of the California Consumer Privacy Act or the Shield Law in New York City. So I have brought Paul Smith, director from Swift Digital in the United Kingdom, who is something of an expert on this issue. And Paul, thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate the opportunity, sir. I'm a very humble person. I would never presume to use the word expert, but I will do my best to answer your questions and try and contribute to the debate, sir.
Well, like I say in the introduction to this podcast, is that I know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. So I consider you to be someone who knows more about it than I do.
Bless you for your kind words. Yeah, yes. I will take that and shake your hand and be grateful for the kind words. So thank you.
All right, sounds good. So, Paul, you heard my introduction on this. Are companies going to be getting into trouble, or are they actually just trying to test the limits of these laws?
I think the short and honest answer to your question, sir, would be yes to both. You have a combination of factors here, if I may. Mm-hmm. And the starting point has to be the regulation, the compliance, the legislation. And obviously, then you have the arbiter of the legislation, the regulation, and the compliance. Now, if we look at it from a UK perspective, and please appreciate this is a very, very contentious, fluid, and unfortunately, to a degree, politicized as well. And I don't like saying that. But the salient fact is, taking that all into account, I think it's very important that whether it's an SMB, an SME, a large enterprise, a multinational, call it what you will, or even a private individual as a sole trader, I think the more knowledge that people have about the legislation, the regulation, the compliance, the arbitration and the enforcement, I think the responsibility is on the individual actor or entity to be their own best arbiter, convener, governor, regulator. So I think the responsibility should start with the person or the company to protect their interests to the best of their ability in the first instance. Because obviously in the UK, we have a myriad of different regulations, laws and compliance standards, as I'm sure you're aware. Mm-hmm. And again, if I might take a starting point in answer to your original point, if I may. We have a regulation standard in the UK that you may be familiar with called the Privacy and Electronic Communication Regulations. That's often abbreviated to PECR. Now, that would sit alongside the Data Protection Act and the UK equivalent, or the UK version of GDPR, I should say. And that would assign and give people specific privacy rights in relation to electronic communications, which would obviously include things like cookies, which I think you touched on at the outset. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, great. Now, as many people listening to this are aware, there are very specific rules within PECR as pertains marketing calls, emails, texts, and faxes. We have another piece of legislation that people might be familiar with, which is getting on actually in terms, which is the Malicious Communication Act, which I believe was 1988, but I do stand to be corrected, which governs marketing calls, emails, texts, and faxes. I get hit for a lot of these communications being fairly high profile, like a lot of other people, these robocalls and these texts and everything else. That also covers, on the second point, cookies, which you touched on yourself, sir, and comparable technologies and similar technologies. It covers keeping communications safe and secure, and also customer privacies as regards traffic, location data, itemized billing, line identification, directory listings. And critically, again, whether it's an SMB, an SME, or irrespective of the scale of the organizations, organizations are obliged to comply with PECR, promote good practice, good governance, and in turn, where applicable, offer advice and guidance. And PECR is administered by the UK regulatory entity, which in this instance is the ICO, the Information Commissioner's Office. And they're taking enforcement action, coming back to your point, very, very stringently. You know, they will take action against organizations that persistently ignore their obligations. And they will often start with those that generate the most complaints. And I would suggest to you that that's been manifested in the volume, the quantity, and the level of fines that have been administered for proven breaches of that particular piece of legislation, in answer to your question.
Mm.
So if we look at that, and I, you know, apologies if I'm going a little bit too granular. I mean, PECR, the full name for that, as I said, is the Privacy and Electronic Communication Regulations 2003, which is actually derived from European legislation. EU Directive 202-58 EC, also known as the e-privacy directive, for those of us more in the know than myself. It was designed as a complementary piece of legislation to complement the what's now known as the GDPR regime, setting out privacy rights on electronic communications and the like. Now, that's been amended a number of times. The most recent change that I'm aware of in the update, touching on the point that you made, sir, was in 2018, probably were due for more updates, I would imagine. But that was to ban cold calling by claims management services and introducing director liability for serious breaches of marketing rules, touching on the cookie point that you made. And it was also updated in 2019 to ban cold calling of pension schemes in certain instances. And typically, a lot of the touch points came from these tracking and analytics cookies, which highlighted potential touch points for these calls to be leveraged from.
Yeah, so the cookies themselves are foundational to everything else that happens.
In many instances, yes.
So that, yeah, this is one of the reasons why my wife and I want to move to England in the next few years, because it seems like Europe and England in itself are so much further ahead than us. I remember when the GDPR came into play, there were all these people in the U.S. are saying, oh, look at these silly Europeans and their regulations. And now when we look back, we're trying to play catch up. I mean, the California Privacy Act was kind of the first one, then New York got involved, and now all the other states are falling into place. Unfortunately, while the GDPR is an opt-in program, California is an opt-out.
100%. It's explicit consent in rather than presumed consent out. 100%. The bias is completely weighted the other way. And just to illustrate your point, sir, if I might give you a quote, would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have a new incumbent chair who started work as the UK Information Commissioner, therefore the head of the ICO. He started work on Tuesday, the 4th of January, which I believe was last Tuesday. The gentleman by the name of John Edwards, who has agreed a five-year term to succeed Elizabeth Denham. And Mr. Edwards said, upon taking his role, I think this would touch on some of your points, sir, so I beg your indulgence again. Mr. Edwards said, privacy is a right, not a privilege. Mm-hmm. In a world where our personal data can drive everything from the healthcare we receive to the job opportunities we see, we all deserve to have our data treated with respect. My role is to work with those who we entrust our data so they are able to respect our privacy with ease whilst we're still reaping the benefits of data-driven innovation. I also want to empower people to understand and influence how they want their data to be used and to make it easy for people to access remedies if things go wrong. I know from experience that the team at the ICO are entirely dedicated to privacy and information rights and supporting organisations and consumers alike. The ICO has an international reputation for forward thinking and clear assessment of the practices of the law, which I will continue to promote. And I too know of the active data protection community in the UK. I look forward to hearing the experiences of the businesses, the public sector, civil society, and the privacy community. And the final paragraph, I welcome the opportunity to oversee the crucial Freedom of Information Act. Transparency that helps people and trust decisions made on their behalf has perhaps never been as relevant across as the past 2 years. I look forward to ensuring the law continues to be relevant in our changing world. So critically, touching on the points that you made, sir, this is all about the principle, as you said, of explicit consent in, not assumed consent out. So we have a different weighting, a different bias between the UK, as you very rightly say, sir. And in addition to some of the other touch points, it would be remiss of me not to mention, obviously, in terms of PECR, but in terms of supplement to that, this new online safety bill that's due to come in force into the UK at some point, possibly later this year. And that, again, will strengthen links with digital regulators, between digital regulators and across the different regulatory footprints. And again, you know, when we're looking at cookies and other bits and pieces like that, there will be a strengthening of protection for children online, things like the age-appropriate design code and other new regulations within tech. So absolutely, explicit consent within the UK is now more stringent, strident, and will be now enforced more so than ever before. So the emphasis is going to be on good actors, good actions, and everyone needs to be their own best policeman, I would argue, in answer to your initial point, sir.
Yeah, and that's the thing that concerns me the most. There was a report that came out recently about the CCPA. And it, because in order to make sure that they're not collecting your data and to make sure that they've erased everything, you've got to write everyone who you've ever used online to delete your data. You've got to send them a letter to do that. And I'm thinking of my grandsons. The youngest grandson in particular, who shortly after he learned how to walk, was able to use an iPad better than my wife.
I would say that your concerns are well-founded, sir, and I take no pleasure in saying that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that our kids aren't going to be writing these letters. They don't know about the CCPA, and so Absolutely. Their data is being collected like crazy.
If I might add a couple of points to that, if I may, and again, I would never presume to say that I'm an expert on CCPA. I know a lot of people who know a lot about it within the thought leadership community that I'm, you know, part of and privileged to be so. It's been put to me that there are indeed, as you rightly touched on, sir, some shortcomings within the CCPA. It does create a suite of consumer digital privacy rights, that's true. But there's perceived to be limitations to that. And it's been argued that these shortcomings, these limitations, whatever word you choose to use, might significantly undercut CCPA's ability to prove the kind of sweeping consumer privacy that it might have otherwise sought to offer Californians at the point of inception. Now, since inception, CCPA has been the subject of a sustained, effective lobbying campaign from many people in industry. And they've been very successful. They've managed to win successful exceptions and exclusions, particularly up to the point where it came into law in 2018 and becoming effective in the January. There's been a, you know, you don't need me to speak about the lobbying community in America. I'll defer that to other people, particularly in Washington and elsewhere. And they've been focused on limiting and curtailing privacy protections for worker data, weakening the definition of de-identified data, which I believe you touched on. And they've allowed businesses to successfully discriminate based upon access to consumer data, requesting data in exchange for discounts and loyalty benefits, many people have argued. And there's going to be, the pressure from a big business and in America is going to continue. And the lobbying is focusing now from regional level to the Attorney General's office. And there's a lot of scrutiny about whether this law should indeed stay not only in part, but possibly in full. And the bill is argued to have been eroded over time. The law has never properly transcended in, and I say this with maximum respect because I'm not a colonialist, the law's never arguably transcended into the mould of a British or an EU orthodox consumer rights bill model. There are not explicit consent rights in on an UK stroke EU model over access to information. There's no prohibition for certain purposes to which consumer information may be put. There's no banning of targeting, profile screening or sale of information to data brokers. Again, many of us remember what happened with Cambridge Analytica, and I do apologise for the analogy. And again, this CCPA is designed to rely on mechanisms of consumer requests and consent to regulate these activities, touching on the point that you made regarding the principle of consent. So if you look at that on the whole, CCPA is ambiguous. There are absences, there are exclusions. The lobbyists are able to exploit all of this, and they've been very successful. There's shortcomings in rights and protections. And, you know, the exemptions and limitations. And again, on top of everything else, if that wasn't bad enough, it's so ambiguous in many, many areas. Again, and I apologize for the analogy. We have very, very clear and explicit rules and regulations here in the UK and particularly in Europe. But in the US with CCPA, many people can draw many different inferences. You know, other, you know, forms
of personal. And that comes down or is manifested in what I'm seeing on websites now when they're not giving me the option to tell them not to use it for marketing. They're,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know. The tragedy. And
you've also explained something else to me. It should have been fairly obvious, but I have been putting in phone calls to California legislators, particularly the ones who authored the CCPA in the first place. I mean, it was an initiative. So the people voted on this, and there's this particular organization that is monitoring it, but it had to have a sponsor within the legislature. And those legislators will not call me back.
I'll be honest with you, the tragedy is I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because touching on the points that you made, because the tragedy of all of this is that you're more right than probably any of us want you to be. Do you know what I mean? Because this
and,
whole
and just for the heck of it, I'd like to call them out right now. It's the Senate Democrat Majority Leader Robert Hertzberg and the President Pro Tem of the Assembly Kevin Mullen, who have refused to call me back.
Well, I would hope that if anybody in their offices hear this, sir, they would engage with you as a gentleman who's trying to make positive societal change. And again, you know, I speak here as the head of country for Swift Digital on a completely non-political basis, solely as a technologist. And these rights are there for all people all over America and elsewhere. And, you know, we need objective, clear regulation, clearly defined definition, and one which is not subject to inferences drawn. And what concerns me greatly within this inference drawn behavioral model, if you will, people are using these tracking cookies and all these horrible, horrible, horrible things to target consumers based upon their behavior, their preferences, their attitude, their buying patterns, call it what you will. and they're able to draw strength and opportunity through these ambiguities and these capabilities to draw inferences. And there's nowhere nearly enough objectivity, I would argue, because people are using behavioral analytical models to get around CCPA, and they use a principle that you may have heard of, sir, called aggregate consumer information. And what I'm about to say right now may sound conspiratorial, and I want to apologize in advance, and it is not my intention in saying this point. I speak only objectively as a technologist.
You are really a British politician, aren't you?
I don't know whether that's a compliment or not after the news today. But all I will say is this. I don't want to be conspiratorial in saying this. I really don't. But if you look at a behavioral analytics model based upon aggregate consumer information, unfortunately, some of these marketeers are using things like these tracking cookies and these analytics to create profiles that may infer similar things about a consumer. They're using population level insights. They're using data sets and they're collating things together to actively get around, circumvent, whatever you want to call it. The law is unfortunately not as strong as it could be. And this level of profiling is creating vulnerability that other people who are able to exploit. And that's what worries me. You know, I have a 19-year-old daughter myself. And again, if you look at the other factor as well, if that wasn't bad enough, CCPA is very, very vacuous in terms of an objective definition for publicly available information. And again, I'm not here to try and frighten anybody. I just want things to be better.
Yeah. Because yeah, clearly, that's my purpose too.
Absolutely. And I know. And I would say that in support of you, sir.
And you know what really pisses me off about this? Because I expect this kind of recalcitrance from legislators. But I am noticing this trend and say, about, you know, the banner at the bottom saying either you allow us to set cookies or don't use us.
It's actually worse than you think.
Well, what it is, I'm seeing that because I spend so much time in cybersecurity, I'm seeing that in cybersecurity companies.
Oh, well, this is what I was going to come to, because I'll make the next point in support of what you're saying. But again, I don't want to be scaring anybody or being seen to. You know what we're talking about in terms of publicly available information? CCPA, to the best of my knowledge, and again, I stand to be corrected, does not currently explicitly exclude biometric data collected by a business without the consumer's knowledge. And I'll say that again because I want to be clear. CCPA, to the best of my knowledge, does not currently explicitly exclude biometric information collected by a business without the consumer's knowledge. Now, is that your DNA information? Is that your face? Is that your fingerprints? And if you extrapolate that, sir, to the federal authorities, it gets frightening very quickly.
Yeah.
And you don't need me to tell you, touching from a cyber technology point of view, that there was a leading US cyber company that was involved with scraping publicly searchable face images.
Yes.
And I'm not here to name names, but I would suggest that there's very intelligent people listening to this conversation who will know who that is and who it was, because that opened up the possibility, under the principle of inferences drawn, that many other companies to also scrape biometric and possibly, and I'll say it again, possibly non-biometric information from public searches that otherwise might have led to invasive practices and invasive actions. And it's scaring. And is it all the worst parts of Big Brother? Yeah, it is. And it's frightening. And I hope someone who's listening to this can do something in deference to your comments to tighten up CCPA, because it needs to be objective, clear, and not open to these subjective inferences, because, you know, they're helping some people, but they're not helping everybody.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I'll just highlight another couple of things, if I may, in support of your argument, sir. Workers' rights protection. If you compare like for like, where's the workers' rights protections in CCPA, particularly for employees and indeed contractors? Under CCPA, I believe that personal information, in terms of their hiring, employment, administrating benefits, that's explicitly excluded from the application of the law. So at the end of the day, there was an initial attempt to include greater protections for employee information. If you look at imagine what an HR database holds. It's got every piece of personal sensitive information from your medical history to your orientation to your demography. I mean, I'm scaring myself saying all of this. I'm sorry.
It is scary. And maybe what we should do is pivot briefly here as we're getting near the end of this session.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of other, can I make another couple of points very quick, please?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to touch on is your medical records.
Yes.
There's exemptions tailored and worded to avoid conflict in terms of medical data. That's very frightening. So the other caveat, and again, number three, I would say to you is your credit data.
Oh, yeah. Don't talk to me about that.
Which is something that we touched on the other day, sir. So I felt it was important, again, to support your argument on that. You know, in many other instances, the CCA gives you more protection in consumer rights than other laws. But again, it's not as strong as it should be. And critically, the final point I want to make, private right of action. The most significant absence or omission from CCPA, from my standpoint, is a private right of action for individuals to sue companies for non-compliance with its rights and obligations. Now, the law differed from what the original referendum which preceded it, if you recall. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady who was quoted widely on this issue that you may be familiar with, or some of the listeners, Mary Stone Ross. Mary Stone Ross said the final version of CCPA, which came into effect, was largely, quote, largely toothless. The law grants only the Attorney General's office the standing right to sue, creating significant resource constraints for enforcement and prosecution. And I'll give you one final point. The Attorney General's office anticipate it's only got the resources to bring about 3 cases a year under that new law. And how scary is that? Because you can't even use the law to protect yourself or anybody else because they haven't got the resources to help you.
Yeah.
And isn't that scary?
Yeah. So one of the things that I do personally to protect myself on this, I use browsers that give me the ability to block cookies. Specifically, I use Brave quite a bit, and I've got the settings set all the way to the right. And just this morning, I was looking at a website for a company that had one of those banners that I'm pissed off about. And I noticed my Brave browser blocked 21 separate cookies.
My goodness.
In the 5 minutes that I was on the site.
5 minutes?
5 minutes.
My goodness. So what's 5 minutes divided by 21?
That would be a little bit more than four point two
a minute, sir.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So I mean that's and it's probably because they were trying to set a cookie and they kept trying to come back and set it. But I mean that's one of the things that I tell people they should be doing. Is there anything else they can do to protect themselves from this kind of data theft?
The starting point for everything is education. You have to empower yourself as an individual. And the short version is the best person to protect yourself is yourself.
Yes.
Through knowledge, education. We have a saying in England, every day is a learning day. And at the end of the day, you know, we've got this wonderful thing that we have now that I can use at 47 years old that I couldn't use when I was at my daughter's age, which is Google. And, you know, within 6 degrees or what used to be 6 degrees, which is now 6 links. Google, I'm not here to advertise Google. Please don't take me wrong. But whatever browser you choose to use, the whole world is there to let you educate yourself. But please, 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 if you pick up on one salient thing that I've said today, please educate and empower yourself and don't trust or depend upon somebody else to do it for you. Because guess what? They're going to let you down.
So to wrap this up, I wanted to clarify a couple of things that we talked about in the past half hour. After this recording was made, I did get a call back from Assemblyman Kevin Mullen's office. Kevin Mullen is the Assemblyman President Pro Tempore of the California Assembly. And his office said that directed me to another organization to answer some of my questions, but they did not answer my question directly about what is the legislature doing about this. So all I can assume is that it's not doing anything, or hasn't figured out what it wants to do, or if it even recognizes the problem. The organization they sent me to was commonsensemedia.org. That's an organization that was a co-author of the California Consumer Privacy Act, CCPA. And the problem is that they're very difficult to get a hold of. They have been active in making changes to the CCPA since it was an initiative, and they've been some additions to it. One of them happens to be that anyone under the age of 16 or 16 and under has to give implicit permission to collect data on them. So that's a good part. The other part was is that they created a website called donotsell.org, which is a way for people to tell corporations not to collect or sell their data or to destroy it if indeed there. The problem is that it doesn't really simplify the process. It merely gives you a link to the website of certain companies to help you go through that process. But each process is completely different, asks different questions of the users, and it would be much simpler if the state would just make the CCPA an opt-in version as the European Union's GDPR. So that's where we are. In the United States, California in particular, the process of protecting your data from corporations to use as they want is very difficult and doesn't seem like it's going to be changing anytime soon. That's the bad news. And I'm not sure there's a lot of good news in that. Thanks again to Paul Smith for his time. This is, as usual, there are places on the Cyber Protection Magazine site where you can send us an email, you can ask us questions, you can comment on directly on the article that accompanies this particular podcast, and we'd like to hear from you. So if you get a chance to do that, give us a call, drop us a line, and we'd love to hear from you. This has been Crucial Tech, a Foot Washer Media production.